Amen. You know, one of the most encouraging things for me regarding the life of God's servant Gideon is this, that he was absolutely nobody when the Lord called him. And he was nobody without the Lord, even after the Lord had called him. And many of you will be aware that whenever the Lord had summoned him and commissioned him to go and to fight with the Midianites, that some 32,000 men had indicated their willingness to go. Now, while that was a lot of people, they were still outnumbered more than 4 to 1. But in spite of all of that, the Lord made it very clear to Gideon that the number would still have to be brought down. And that is where things would probably have got very scary for me if I was one of those 32,000 who had said that I would help Gideon. Now, the reduction was for this reason, that pride thrives upon achievement. Pride thrives upon achievement, and the Lord knows that. The second reason is this, that the glory was all to be the Lord's. It was all to be his in the defeat of Midian at that time. And the third thing is this, that pride makes people feel self-sufficient. I think there was enough experience in Gideon's life to have him understand that even though the Lord used him many times to do many things, he was constantly casting himself again upon the Lord. He was constantly brought back to that point where he needed encouragement. And he realized, as if he'd never done anything before for the Lord, he realized and felt, well, I'm still nothing by myself. He needed continually to be encouraged to keep doing what he was doing. I think of a friend of mine who was brought up in Canada, and he's married to this girl now, but when she was his girlfriend, they went away one time somewhere, and they were doing bungee jumping, and he jumped. And then when it came her turn to jump, she got the thing connected to her, and then she went out to the edge, and then she stepped back again. And then she took a sort of a wee run at it, and then she stopped just short of jumping off. And they counted her down, all the people behind her, from 10, they counted 10, 9, 8, and so on, right down, and she went, and she wouldn't go, and she wouldn't go, and they did it time and time and time again, and you know, eventually she did go. She needed constant encouragement. Now, that was a time when they were just having some fun. But when I think of that, I have to think of Gideon. Gideon was a man who ought to inspire you. If you seek to do anything for the Lord, look at Gideon. He was no one. And the Lord used him in a tremendous way. In fact, the Lord used him against a mighty foe known as the Midianites. Now, as I said, as you read through his life, he was given various tasks. And the task that he was given now was one that would probably overwhelm the vast majority of men on earth. I know we have very courageous soldiers. But the reason that it might overwhelm them was this, that they were so outnumbered and the task was so difficult. But you know something, brethren and sisters, whatever you're doing in the Lord's work, it is always good. And sometimes I don't think it's good. I don't feel it's good. But whatever you go to do, it's always good to acutely sense your need of the Lord's help. It's good for that, because we cast ourselves upon him. For Gideon to go with just 300 men into Midian would seem like absolute madness. It wouldn't happen in a military situation today. But just before this attack took place, the Lord came again to Gideon, and he gave him more encouragement. And if you read his history from the Lord came to him when he was under the oak, the Lord had to continually encourage him. I mean, the Lord gave him a reassurance about something, and he went and he done it. That lifted him. And it lifts you and it lifts me. But you know, whenever it come to doing something else, he was just back to square one again and saying, Lord, I need more encouragement. Felt encouraged 2 days ago, but I really, really need it now. I'm sure you felt like that, Christian. And the title of my sermon this morning, I trust will help you. It is Topping Up Encouragement. Topping Up Encouragement. Gideon had already been encouraged, but his encouragement had to be topped up continually. And we're into the work here a couple of months, and perhaps that is your situation. I know it's mine, that I need my encouragement continually topped up. I want you to notice then, first of all, that God's encouragement is part of God's equipping. Look, please, there at verse 9. It says, "And it came to pass the same night that the Lord said unto him that is Gideon, Arise, get thee down unto the host, for I have delivered it into thine hand. But if thou fear to go down..." He's realizing here that even though he's saying to Gideon, "Gideon, I've delivered them into their hand," he's realizing that Gideon's still thinking, but they're still there. The difficulty is still there. "Go with fear of thy servant down to the host." And when you see here and read these verses, the Lord says, if you and this servant of yours, if you pick him and you slip away down to where the Midianites are, that in itself was a risky operation. But if you slip away down to where they are, I'm going to encourage you by bringing you down to where they are just at this time. Now we have to note there, when you think of that, you think of the great detail that the Lord went into here to encourage this man. Brothers and sisters, the Lord knows what we need. The Lord knows what you need. Young woman seeking to do something for the Lord and trembling at that. Or you man trying to do what you can for God. But as it says over there in the Psalm 101, as a father pitieth his children, so the Lord pitieth them that fear him. And we need to remember that. Because God encouraged you, maybe I said something here from the pub and you thought, that's something that I can do. I looked to the Lord and the Lord encouraged you. You went and you began to do it. And if the truth be known, there are those moments when you're sitting by yourself and you're saying, what have I gotten myself into? Whatever I do, I just don't seem to be able to have that feeling of encouragement. You see, Gideon had already experienced encouragement and through repeated assurances that the Lord had given him. But Gideon was like us. He was a man whom the Lord knew about, and the Lord knew his weaknesses as well as his strengths. And he knew that even though the Lord had been very gracious to him already and worked very directly so that Gideon could see that, he still needed more help. He needed more and more and more help. And God's people, you and I, can expect the Lord to give us that needed encouragement along the way. Now, when you think of how the Lord dealt with Gideon, turn please to chapter 6. It says there in verse 12, "And the angel of the Lord..." You will be aware that the angel of the Lord very often, and this is one of the occasions in the Old Testament, is a reference to the Lord Jesus Christ, the incarnate appearance of him. "And the angel of the Lord appeared unto him and said unto him, The Lord is with thee, thou mighty man of valor." Now, first of all, we may think, well, here's a man and he's of a very high caliber when it comes to military things. Well, look at verse 13. You'll see that he's filled with doubt. He's filled with confusion. His faith is weak. He says, "If the Lord be with us, why then has all this befallen us? And where be all the miracles that our fathers told us of?" He's actually a defeated man, for he says, "God hath forsaken us." So here's the very man that the Lord comes along to and he says, "The Lord is with thee, thou mighty man of valor." How do you feel this morning? The Lord comes to you and he says, "The Lord is with thee, thou mighty woman or mighty man of valor." You don't feel it. You don't feel it. You're like Gideon. You can think of a thousand reasons why there's no indication of the Lord perhaps looking upon you as someone with valor. Valor means bravery. Gideon was hiding at this time. And his doubts were there. And very easy in God's work, when you look at the past and the Lord has done, you tend to dwell upon the things that were sensational. One soul saved here and there is every bit as important to the Lord as many saved in revival blessing. So you see Gideon here, when he felt himself to be perhaps at his lowest ebb, the Lord said, "Gideon, you're a brave man." You see, the Lord was speaking not of what he was humanly, but of what he could be. What he could be through the Lord's help. You look in chapter 6 again and verse 34, it says, well, verse 33, it says, "Then all the Midianites and the Amalekites and the children of the east were gathered together and went over and pitched in the valley of Jezreel. But the Spirit of the Lord came upon Gideon and he blew a trumpet And Abiezer was gathered after him. You see there, the Spirit of the Lord came upon Gideon. Literally means that he clothed himself with Gideon. Gideon now was full of the Holy Spirit. And you don't be doing very much for God when you know and you're very aware that you need to be filled with the Holy Spirit. Sometimes when you've got things to do, and I've been in this position even in the past week, you just want to run away and hide. But here's a man that was filled with the Holy Spirit. And you know, that was going to make all of the difference to him. Look at the response of the people in verse 35. The people began to follow after him. And if you read chapter 6 very carefully, you will see there all about the fleece situation. So the Lord, yes, the Lord had sent this man to deliver Israel from the Midianites. It was a tall task. You would almost say what he was going to do on a human level was suicidal, but the Lord was equipping him. And part of that equipping was not teaching him how to handle a sword or teaching him how to muster the troops. The equipping him was encouragement. Encouragement that the Lord was his helper. Encouragement that the Lord was continually with him. If you look with me in the Old Testament, please. Acts chapter 1. Verse 3. Here's the same principle. It really is a principle of repeated encouragement. That's what it is. In the book of Acts chapter 1. I read from verse 2, it says, until the day in which he was taken up, after that he, through the Holy Ghost, had given commandments unto his apostles, whom he had chosen, to whom also he showed himself alive after his passion, by many infallible proofs, being seen of them 40 days, and speaking of the things pertaining to the kingdom of God. Did you see what it says there? Many infallible proofs. These things really, the manifestation of the grace of God and the goodness of God, which encouraged these men not only to believe him, but to obey him. And you have it right through the Bible. God, as he equips his people, part of that equipping, it has to be encouragement. You know where it says there that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength? That's true. You wait in prayer. How does the Lord encourage you? How does the Lord strengthen you? Says they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. Well, you think of this. How often we are strengthened when we're encouraged. If you're really encouraged, you feel strengthened. Look at the timing here of this encouragement. It was just at the very time when he needed it. How important it is not to be walking away from the Lord, but to be walking with the Lord. Gideon here was following after the Lord. He had laid aside his hiding, and now he was following after the Lord, and he had destroyed the altar of Baal, that is true. He had reduced the army. He was now going to go forward by faith, not by sight. But it was still a hard call. It was just like Abijah. Remember, Abijah went out into the battlefield and the enemy was right around him. But the Lord gave him the victory because he called upon the Lord. So we see here in this timing of this encouragement, this man had to be walking with the Lord. But notice also that the Lord orders our steps. I'm sure when the Lord first came to him, he said, well, I want all the encouragement. And I want all the reassurance. And I want all of the details. And I want them now right in front of me that I can look at them. Stockpile them up. That wasn't the way. You see, the Lord gives you encouragement at the right time. He gives you encouragement in his work at the right time. Remember Moses, when he led the children of Israel out into the desert, how often he was able to say in his own heart that the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. Just the steps, not the strides. The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. Notice that this assurance was accepted. Gideon did not ask, we have to say, for this assurance, but the Lord knew he needed it. However, he did not turn it down. And this shows me that he wanted to face the battle with his faith as strong as possible. And the Lord gives you and I, just as he gave Gideon, opportunities to increase our faith. Opportunities to strengthen our faith. And we need to be interested in that. even simply in presenting the gospel wherever you do that. We need to be interested in a strengthening of our faith. And we need to never think that we're strong enough on our own. And it's right to say that in God's work we still face many Midianites, the Midianites of sin, the Midianites of disinterest, the Midianites of people turning away, the Midianites of all kinds of difficulties. But as we said, encouragement is part of equipping. But I want you to notice something else here, the actual receiving of this encouragement. If he had wanted assurance, he was to take his servant down to where the enemy was. Now, if you look at chapter 7 in the book of Judges in verse 10, it says in verse 11 as well, to go down to the host. They were to go right down to where the enemy was. In other words, he was to go down, right down to this very difficult place, the place where the adversary was. So his faith that was going to be strengthened and encouraged, it was going to be strengthened and encouraged in a hostile environment, in the place where the difficulties were. If you turn there to the book of Psalms, Psalm 119. Psalm 119, verse 71. Psalmist here reflecting upon his own time of difficulty. He said, "Is it good for me that I have been afflicted, that I might learn thy statutes?" But look at verse 67. "Before I was afflicted, I went astray, but now have I kept thy word." The word afflicted there means Lord. Before I felt low. Before I was afflicted, I went astray. You see, this man had to go right down in these circumstances. He had to do exactly what the Lord says, because if he had not done that, then the devil can't get in. And any hope that he had could have been overthrown. But brethren and sisters, the Lord would have us, even in the difficulties in the work, to keep pressing on in the work. Because it is right in there that the Lord sends the encouragement. He doesn't give you the encouragement for next year's work now. You teachers got encouragement this morning, I trust. But you got it this morning. You got it this morning. And so it is in the work of the Lord. The actual receiving the encouragement is when we give ourselves to the work. Gideon was found, as I mentioned earlier, and it's very important. He was found going on here with the Lord. You think of the early days of the Faith Mission in Scotland. Hardly anyone came to hear them. And no one wanted to know the message of saving grace and redeeming love. But they kept on preaching. Sometimes in very, very difficult circumstances where they were depending on local people to feed them and to keep them alive. And how often it was right when they were almost ready for giving up, when their faith perhaps had come to a low ebb, yet the Lord stepped in and he encouraged them greatly. They were pressing on. They were still pressing on with the Lord. So you notice here that even when the Lord did give him this encouragement, I want you to notice then that providence was at work here. Providence was at work in the life of Gideon. You'll see that in his experience, everything, all of the details were dovetailing together. And as you read through the verses there, Gideon and his servant, they came, I'm sure, in a very careful and quiet way, down to where the enemy camp was at. And if you look there in verse 13, some amazing words. It says, "And this fellow answered and said, this is nothing else." Sorry, I should have read verse 13. "And when Gideon was come, behold, there was a man that told a dream unto his fellow and said, behold, I dreamed a dream. And lo, a cake of barley bread tumbled into the host of Midian and came onto a tent and smote it that it fell and overturned it. And the tent lay along. And his fellow answered and said, this is nothing else save the sword of Gideon, the son of Joash, a man of Israel. For into his hand hath God delivered Midian and all the host." This was the stark reality that this man had to face up to. We see the wonderful providence of the Lord. It's amazing that Gideon was here. He was able to listen to this. And he was able to take great encouragement from it. He received encouragement as he was there listening to it. You think of the words of the Apostle Paul when he was speaking to all those who are the Lord's. If you're a Christian today, here's a word for you in Romans 8:28. who are the called according to his purpose. What does that mean? According to his purpose means abiding in his will. And when you're abiding in his will, then not only do you get encouragement, but providence. Providence works and confirms the will of God again and again and again. Many, many years ago, there was someone who'd heard of the great need of a missionary in India, some part of India, and they had said to the Lord, I go if the Lord directs. And the Lord directed them to leave home. This is many years ago now. It wasn't the same type of transport as it is today. And they made their way and they stopped along the way just for a few days and ended up staying in that place 30 years. Why? Because the Lord directed them. But the Lord would not have directed them if they had not taken the step to start with in faith and followed on after the Lord. And when they headed out towards India, the Lord directed them to this particular place. You think of Philip. In the book of Acts, Philip left revival. None of us would like to leave revival. We would love to have revival. In fact, we don't like to be away from Christians for very long at all. But you would never think of going away from where revival was to a barren and a wilderness place. Well, that is exactly what Philip done. And in the providence of God, he met with the Ethiopian eunuch. You remember that? The providence of God was at work there, and everything was dovetailing together. And the two Midianites here talking together give considerable knowledge to Gideon, who is faced with these warriors. In fact, what he heard produced tremendous encouragement. We read what one man said to the other. This is nothing less than the sword of Gideon, the son of Joash, a man of Israel. For into his hand God hath delivered the Midianites. Now that is exactly what God said to Gideon. Earlier on we read the verses, I have delivered them into thine hand. And now he was hearing from one of themselves, we're delivered into their hand. So you can see the encouragement that there was for him here. So brethren and sisters, in spite of his weakness, here was a man that was continually encouraged and a man that would be able to do exploits for the Lord. It's interesting to note where we read there that the keg of barley bumped into a tent. In the original, the meaning is, it was the principal tent, or it was the commander-in-chief's tent. It was the biggest tent in the camp. And it was knocked down. Knocked down the tent of the leader. And that would signify God was going to overthrow them. He was going to overthrow them. But surely, brethren and sisters, there are lessons here. When we look at this encouragement and reassurance, there are lessons for us. Do you remember Paul in chapter 4 of Philippians in verse 13? He said, I can do all things, but he went on and said, through Christ which strengtheneth me. Now, you know the history of Paul. We spoke about him often enough. Very often he took on things and on the face of it, he wasn't going to succeed as a human being because he couldn't do it. But if he followed the direction of the Lord, and sometimes the Lord pointed him in a different direction than he thought he was going to go. But every time the Lord encouraged him and the Lord enabled him. Why? Because God's providence was at work. We should look for God's providence. Following after the Lord, and maybe a door opens, or we think a door is going to open to do something new for the Lord, and maybe it doesn't open, but another one opens. And if you're following after the Lord, that's the leading of the Lord. That is providence at work. Over there in 2 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 9, it speaks about my grace being sufficient for thee. And at the end it says that the power of Christ may rest upon me. That is what Paul is absolutely and totally relying on. The power of Christ resting upon me. Just as Gideon was filled with the Holy Spirit. It wasn't going to work any other way. Here's Paul saying that the power of Christ may rest upon me. That is the same word as we find in the Old Testament translated tabernacled. Remember when the Lord tabernacled among his people? Or even there in John chapter 1 and verse 14, where the Lord dwelt among them. It's a very intimate sense of the Lord's presence being with them. And that was Paul's experience. And folks, that can be our experience in God's work when providence is at work. Notice there in verse 14, the great fear that came upon Midian. Verse 14, this fellow answered and said, this is nothing else save the sword of Gideon, the son of Joash, a man of Israel, for into his hand hath God delivered Midian and all his host.
And it was so when Gideon heard the telling of the dream and the interpretation thereof that he worshipped and returned into the host of Israel and said, Arise, for the Lord hath delivered into your hand the host of Midian. Now if you turn on down through those other verses, you will see that these people were absolutely petrified. The Midianites were petrified. Such was the workings of God in their Midian hearts. And folks, in the work of God, we must always remember this, is anything too hard for the Lord? We began to preach after the holidays there in August. You began to teach your Sunday school in September. And it would be very easy to fall into the trap of thinking, well, I'm going to do this right round to the summertime. And all the old enemies of unbelief and sin and people wanting to hold on to their sin, it's going to stay like that. It's nothing too hard for the Lord. Just as he conquered Midian here, he can conquer the hearts of men and women. If you're not saved, I trust he'll conquer your heart this morning. Spoken before to you. Speaking again today. If you turn with me there to 2 Kings, please, in your Bibles. Second Kings in chapter 7. It's the story of the four leprous men. We preached on it one time before, I think. They were at the entering in of the gate and they said, Why sit we here until we die? They knew that if they stayed there, they would starve. So they decided to cast themselves upon the enemy. And you see there, they rose up in verse 5 in the twilight to go into the camp of the Syrians. And when they were come to the uttermost part of the camp of Syria, behold, there was no man there. Why? Why was there no man there? For the Lord hath made the host of the Syrians to hear the noise of chariots and the noise of horses, even the noise of a great host. And they said one to another, Though the king of Israel hath hired against us the kings of the Hittites and the kings of the Egyptians to come upon us. Wherefore they arose and fled in the twilight. That is a perfect example of how in a situation where it seems that there's great difficulty that the Lord stepped in and the Lord overruled. It was the same for Gideon with the Midianites. And folks, it can be the same for each one of us and whatever we have to do in publishing the gospel and serving the Lord. You see, the Lord, when he opens a door for you and he begins to direct you in a certain direction, remember this, that encouragement is part of that equipping. He will give you the encouragement when you need it. When you need it, you will get it from the Lord. But the actual receiving of that encouragement, as we noted here, sometimes it is when you throw yourself actually into the work. Not until then. He had to go right down to the camp. Look for providence. Look for God to be working things out and things to be dovetailing together. That will spur you on in the work of the Lord. And here was a man who, of himself, he was nothing. But as I've already said, the Lord encouraged him in equipping him. The Lord encouraged him when he gave himself to the work. The Lord encouraged him by having him see providence at work. But notice, finally then, that he served the Lord with new zeal. After all of this, he did not despise all the confirmations and the ratifications and the encouragement that the Lord gave to him, but rather he served the Lord with new zeal and new vigor. It's there in verse 15. Gideon comes back and it says there, and the interpretation thereof, and he worshipped. He worshipped. As he's filled with new vigor and vitality now, he worships the Lord. And you see, when the Lord encourages us, the first thing to do is thank him. Thank him for encouraging us. You see, the Bible teaches very clearly and systematically that if we are to war for the Lord, we must worship the Lord. And if we want to war well, we need to worship well. And here is a man, he goes straight back to the camp and it says that he worshipped the Lord. And this man who'd been afraid, he says, Arise, for the Lord hath delivered into your hand the host of Midian. So not only did he worship here, but he and the people, they took themselves and they gave themselves to the duty that was assigned to them. You see, it wasn't all about facts and figures and who had the biggest crowd or who was the best armed. It was
whose side the Lord was on, and one with God as a majority. And when God gives increased for us, say, increased understanding of his word individually, and he leads us, and he guides us, and he gives us some more encouragement, he does that to aid us in having more zeal. So it's great for us like Gideon, even though we know that in this occasion, Gideon didn't ask for the encouragement, but how he needed it. It's good to ask for it. Ask the Lord to encourage you continually, time and time and time again. Don't feel that, well, I'm embarrassed with myself, I've been encouraged so much, but today I'm down. And I need encouraged again. Cast yourself again upon the Lord. Look for his workings. Listen for his voice. And lean upon him in the great work that he has given you to do. How we all need a topping up of encouragement. May the Lord bless his word to your hearts.